Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Beautiful day. You can always join us. Call or text. Same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we have several guests coming up today.
Yeah.
Representative Mark Pocan will be joining us. We did pre-record this. We recorded with Representative Pocan on Friday. It's National Postal Workers Day.
What?
So we thought we would ask Mr. Pocan to join us to talk about one of his favorite people, Louis DeJoy, of course, the Postmaster General. And also, he is getting together with some former Republicans to form a group intending to protect democracy.
Oh, do we need it now?
Yeah, we really do. So, Mark Pocan, our pre-recorded interview with Mark Pocan coming up at 10:33. At 11 o'clock, Dean Muller from Wisconsin for Environmental Justice will be joining us to talk about the costs of cleaning up environmental damage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, with Hurricane Beryl barreling toward the islands in the Caribbean, this is the earliest we've ever had a hurricane category four hurricane this early in the season. It's here.
Yeah, and there's no other explanation why it's here so early.
Yeah, so early. So we'll be talking to him coming up at 11 o'clock about the cost of cleaning up our environment. It's going to be an important conversation. I hope we can stick around for that. Breaking news, just as we came on the air, as this seems to have happened the last couple of weeks this morning, the United States Supreme Court issued the long-awaited decision over whether or not Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution. This is according to the Midas Touch Network. In special counsel Jack Smith's prosecution in Washington, the court ruling 6-3 that a president is absolutely immune for all official acts while taken in office, not immune for any unofficial acts. It's still really murky because now, yeah, Essentially they're sending it back to a lower court and they have to decide what is an official and what is an unofficial act.
Yeah.
And that ruling can be appealed and potentially another appeal. I mean, we're not lawyers. We're lawyer adjacent. And actually, Jim Santel is going to be joining us tomorrow at 10:33. He's a former federal prosecutor and very, very knowledgeable. And Jim Santel is going to join us at 10:33 to help us break down the major implications of these past few Supreme Court decisions, including the overturning of the Chevron doctrine, which we talked about on Friday, and then now this. And essentially, from what I am reading this morning, and again, this broke about 20 minutes before we came on the air, so I'm still trying to sort through a lot of stuff, but it just sounds like this can stay wrapped up in courts for years until it eventually works its way back up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. And I like that phrase, lawyer adjacent. That's very, very fun. We had a whole spreadsheet full of questions we wanted to ask Jim Santel. I feel like those are all gone now.
Yeah, there's
it's just like three questions about Supreme Court. And so Jim is great. Please join us tomorrow when he is on the show.
Yep. And he does have a show on weekends called Amicus A Brief.
Oh.
Which is tremendous. And he had a special edition. He was on Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm, on the Civic Media Radio, yeah, Network. So he's a brilliant attorney and really helps break things down to make it a little bit more understandable. Again, the Supreme Court ruling 6-3 that a president is absolutely immune for all official acts taken while in office, not immune for any unofficial acts. Justice Sotomayor out with the dissent. Not happy.
No.
Immune. President takes a bribe in exchange for a pardon? Immune. Let the president violate the law. Let him exploit the trappings of his office for personal gain. Let him use his official power for evil ends. Because if he knew that he may one day face liability for breaking the law, he might not be as bold and fearless as we would like him to be. That is the majority's message today. Even if these nightmare scenarios never play out, and I pray they never do, the damage has been done. The relationship between the president and the people he serves has shifted irrevocably. In every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. That's the dissent written by Justice Sotomayor. Major, major implications.
Yeah.
From this.
Yep. And I have a couple of, I'm not going to talk about them now. I'll talk about them tomorrow, but I have two major questions I have to do, especially I want to ask specifically with regard to that dissent as far as Sotomayor's declaration that we now have essentially, I mean, Trump is not president right now. So Biden is president right now. So we'll get into that more tomorrow. I'd rather get like concrete answers than speculate, because I'll speculate.
But that is an interesting, I mean, yes, Biden is currently president, and if he has complete immunity for official acts,
yeah,
doesn't that cover everything?
Yeah, and
couldn't he just appoint a few more Supreme Court justices?
Well, he could have done that before. People are asking for it. But yeah, I mean, but that means that he can call up the president of Ukraine and say, now you have to help me or I won't give you anything. And he's fine because he's the president, I guess. So I get, you know, like we said, Jim Santel will be on tomorrow. He will break these things down. And yes, he does an amazing job of making the complicated very palatable.
Absolutely. Andrew from Maine texting in, this also means that Biden's non-existent direction to the Department of Justice to prosecute Trump is within official X.
Yeah.
And you're right, Andrew. It's non-existent direction. Biden did not tell the DOJ to go after Trump. But even if he did, that's an official act. Not a problem. It's okay. It's all okay now.
And sorry, GOP. Good luck trying to impeach him now.
Well, yeah. Marjorie Taylor screaming Banshee Green, lock him up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all these, they just want to, now you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to know the knock-on effect of this. And, I mean, this is like having another, excuse me, this is like having a tiny Congress in the Supreme Court, where they get to pass these rules that protect their guy. But don't forget, these laws sometimes, or these things that they decide on, like we've seen with other laws, like once the power they're trying to protect is gone and the guys they don't like come in, then those decisions end up protecting the guys they don't like.
They don't like.
Yeah, so.
There's that.
I mean, I'll say this. I was really surprised that Roberts, of all people, like I understand the three. I understand Trump's little minions.
Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett.
I get that. That makes sense. And just think about that for a second, folks. In 4 years, he got to appoint three Supreme Court justices. That's insanity. And it makes me sick to my stomach. But Roberts is a conservative. I get that. But he has ruled, I don't want to say on the liberal side, but I want to say he's ruled on what seems to be a straight interpretation of the law, mm-hmm, on many cases. And I felt like this was one where he'd say, this will do exactly what Sotomayor says. We'll make that person in the Oval Office essentially a king who can say, guess what? The elections, we're going to do away with the elections. The moment I get into office, I'm going to start chipping away at the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth Amendment. We're going to codify that second. We're going to actually take the second, copy, paste it, put it in the first, and just start working on all those things through things like Project 2025. I know it sounds cartoonish and that I'm living in a movie in my head, but that seems like where we're headed. And I hate saying that.
Yeah. And it does feel like a movie. It feels like a bad movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right. The Chevron decision, again, which we talked about a little bit on Friday, which essentially takes away the expertise in regulatory agencies like the FDA,
yeah,
and NOAA, mm-hmm, those kinds of things. They take away their expertise in crafting laws and addressing some of the finer points within these laws because they have the expertise. Now it could be any judge.
Yep.
They're the experts now, mm-hmm, apparently on everything.
They're automatically scientists now.
Yes.
And experts in the law that isn't even their field of practice.
Right.
And medicine and all the other things. Apparently that now it's where you have a king, then you have dukes and viceroys and governors of the land. And it's going to get worse before it gets better, folks.
I can't say I'm surprised by this. I think I would have been surprised had they I would have been very surprised had they ruled differently on this. I'm curious what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. The United States Supreme Court this morning ruling Donald Trump is immune for official acts, not immune for unofficial acts. And essentially, they kick it back down to a lower court to then decide what constitutes official and unofficial. And going back to the Chevron doctrine, the overturning of the Chevron doctrine on Friday has really paved the way beautifully for Project 2025.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is like the big blow to the wall, because they want to get rid of these institutions. They want to get rid of these government agencies that have had experts in them for decades upon decades, because they just won't side with
Trump. They're not going to give them the answers
they
want.
Yeah, they're not going to tell you that this hurricane is it's fine. They're not going to tell you that this food is good for you when it clearly is not. You think the DOE, the Department of Education, lasts a year after the election, the re-election of Donald Trump? Guess again. And I'm not doing this to, I'm not saying this to scare you like a movie. I'm saying this because I'm scared. I'm officially scared now, especially with Democrats calling for Joe Biden to step down, which I think is ridiculous, moronic, and so short-sighted, but really on brand for the Liberal Party. Be like, we got to do something. Let's blow it all up and start over. Cool deal.
Yeah.
You tell me if you're running. I'm sorry.
It's a tough Monday.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. We do have one bright spot to share with you.
Yeah.
And we'll do it on the other side. I think this is something we can all agree is not a bad thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. What else to do about it? Welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. As we came on the air this morning, breaking news, the United States Supreme Court issuing its decision over whether or not Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution in Jack Smith's case in Washington, D.C. involving January 6th, and the court ruled 6-3, a president is absolutely immune for all official tax acts taken while in office, not immune for unofficial acts. This essentially now kicks it back down, from what I understand, to a lower court who has to parse out now what is an official and what is an unofficial act.
Yeah, and won't hold my breath for that one.
We have a couple texts, too, from Franklin, listening here on WAUK. Of course, they took so long that this won't be heard before the election. Exactly, Sue. If they were going to send it back to the lower courts, they should have done that immediately.
Nope, they knew exactly what they were doing. They did. They had a plan, they executed the plan, and it's going exactly as
well, and
they
this
wanted.
Is, yeah, and this is like exactly like Eileen Cannon in Florida, who is... It certainly seems intentionally delaying on the classified documents case to prevent this from going to trial before the election. And then if he gets reelected, he can pardon himself.
And
it'll just go away.
Can't pardon the 34 felonies, though.
Carmela from Milwaukee. And thank you for coming out to the farmer's market on Saturday, Carmela. Oh, my God. My ulcer just went topsy-turvy over the Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity. I'm hoping Biden's administration can come up with a way to block this or divert it using Biden's presidential immunity. Well, again, he has complete total immunity for official acts.
Yep.
Regarding Andrew from Maine, regarding the Trump decision and ongoing cases, appointing electors is, as I understand it, the responsibility of the states and therefore should not be considered an official act of the president. Of course, I'm not attorney adjacent.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we are.
Exactly.
Jim Santel, again, will be here with us tomorrow morning at 10:33 to hopefully break some of this down and some of the other Supreme decisions that have been coming in as well.
Just to also address another text we got here on the show today. If you are trying to watch us on the live stream, currently we are only available on the WAUK and Matt and Air on Air Facebook pages, as well as Matt and Air on Air and WAUK Twitter/X accounts. So we are not available on Civic Media YouTube. That was an oversight. We will try to get that fixed for the rest of the week. But if you want to find us on the live stream, Matt and Air on Air, Facebook and Twitter, as well as 540 AM WAUK Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Thank you very much, Greg Buck. All right, I promised you some good news. I don't think this is bad news. This person probably disagrees. But Stevie Five Shirts Bannon goes to prison today. Woot.
Did you give him that nickname, or is that something that...
Oh, I know. No. That's been floating around Twitter for a while, because he wears like 7 shirts.
Some people are cold, Jane.
Well, and I'm always cold, so I appreciate that. But I don't know, maybe a nice wrap, Steve. I could loan you a shawl. I have like 3 of them laying around the studios. Supreme Court on Friday rejected former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's efforts to avoid prison. While he appeals his contempt of Congress conviction, the court dispensed with the case very briefly. No noted dissents. Bannon, the podcast host and former strategist for Donald Trump, wanted the court to pause his prison sentence, but a judge ordered him to turn himself in today to begin serving a 4-month sentence. And now he's whining because he won't be able to do his podcast leading up to the election. And I saw someone else this morning on the web saying, well, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
If you had just gone to prison right away instead of appealing this and having your appeal lose, you'd be out.
Yeah.
Before the election. And now you won't be.
You strategic genius, you. And don't forget, of all those titles you've given him, podcaster, former aide to the president's, you know, advisor, don't forget million-dollar grifter.
Oh, big time.
I mean, using the wall that was the centerpiece of the former president's campaign to raise money to, what was that do again? Buy a boat.
I think people forget.
Yeah. And we're not making this up. No, this is an embellishment. This isn't us pontificating or making hypotheticals. He tried to raise money to build the wall. Good luck. It's like $26 billion. And then that money just happened to go away and
end up in his yacht.
Oh, look at a water vroom vroom showed up. A big water vroom vroom from me, Stevie Five Shirts.
I don't understand why more people aren't outraged by being fleeced by the former president's supporters.
By a guy who wears so many fleeces?
That too.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people aren't just furious. And that goes along with all the people who got suckered into making regular monthly donations.
Oh, yeah.
That they never signed up for.
Yep.
That you had to consciously unclick so this did not become a recurring donation.
Yeah. I think that there are some people who just believe wholeheartedly that everything that happens is for the better of their version of good, that everyone who is a part of it is sent from something above, maybe. So Steve Bannon is a low rent martyr. He's not dying, but he's going to prison for the cause. There's no reason to be upset about it. But I think the other people aren't getting enraged is because there's so much happening. I mean,
it's exhausting.
When you talk about the things that we thought in 2016 that would end the political career of Donald Trump, we have to remember them. Like, and you go, you always see the same thing.
Oh yeah,
he said that. There's so much happening at such a breakneck speed. When he lies dozens of times in a national presidential debate and they don't even call him out for it, there's no time for people to be outraged because they don't even know at this point.
Yeah, the fire hose of BS just comes so quickly, it's hard to absorb.
Yeah.
It really is.
Just let it cover you and go to work.
And I will say, too, that if it were any of us that did what Steve Bannon did and were held in contempt of Congress, we would have been in prison already.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't want to hear, oh, he's being targeted. He's being, you know, they're going after him because he's a Trump supporter. No, he was contempt of Congress, and you're supposed to go to prison for that.
And don't forget, there are sitting Congress members of Congress right now who have
never
shown up for these subpoenas. Things that would put you in jail immediately.
Yeah,
immediately you would be in jail for that, but they're not. Why is it different for them? Make it make sense. Show your work.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, it is National Postal Worker Day. So we thought it would be a great time to talk to Wisconsin Representative Mark Pocan. He loves the Postal Service.
All of it.
All of it.
Except one person.
Yeah, we'll talk to Representative Pocan, a pre-recorded interview after the news. Don't go away. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, it is a beautiful day. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Breaking news as we came on the air this morning, the United States Supreme Court ruling Donald Trump is immune for official acts, not immune for unofficial acts. Other news we shared in the first half hour. Stevie Five Shirts Bannon is going to prison today for contempt of Congress. See you in 4 months.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack, thank you for your patience. Jack, what did you want to say?
Thanks for putting me on. The results of the debate. I'm not even going to go into the fact that Biden apparently was suffering from a cold or some sort of, relatively minor illness. But you might as well have had, instead of two so-called moderators, you might have had as well have had a holographic image and an AI just reading off the questions. They did absolutely nothing to fact check. I'd use this analogy. It's like you have a football game, and one team just does everything possible to cheat, break the rules, and lie about it, and the other team is trying to do it to do the game to the best of their ability, but to be honest as much as they can about it and follow the rules. And okay. So here's what the score is at the end. The cheating team wins. And now the media say, yay, the cheating team won, and the other team just did a terrible job. I mean, that's what we're looking at here for the results of this so-called debate.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Jack. I mean, Dana Bash and Jay Tabber should be ashamed. Mm-hmm. They should be ashamed of themselves. And
no respect for them.
And they essentially said, well, that's not our responsibility, and apparently that was in their official rules that – I haven't been able to find posted anywhere on how they would handle the debate, but they should have done some fact checking. And we were talking again about how hard it is for people to absorb the fire hose of BS because it comes so quickly and it just starts to wash over you at some point. You can't take it all in. Sue from Franklin sharing this on the text line. Heather Cox Richardson said the Gish Gallop. It's a rhetorical technique in which someone throws out a fast string of lies, non sequiturs, and specious arguments. So many, it's impossible to fact check or rebut them in the amount of time it took to say them. Trying to figure out how to respond makes the opponent look confused because they don't know where to start, grappling with the flood that has just hit them. It's just another form of gaslighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It's tough. It's
fire hose of dot, dot, dot was used so much since then. Yeah. So.
All right. As promised, today is National Postal Worker Day.
Heck yeah.
And we thought it would be a good time to bring back Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd
District.
District. Yes. Yeah. I just want to make sure I had it right.
Yes. Wisconsin. He is the representative of the 2nd District of Wisconsin.
Of Wisconsin. And we did pre-record this on Friday. So here is our little conversation with Representative Mark Pocan.
Happy National Postal Worker Day. And I know that everyone is celebrating. And when we were talking about this, setting out the show, we couldn't think of anyone more appropriate to have join us. Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd District. Good morning, Mr. Pocan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. And, I hope we appreciate all of the postal workers except for Louis DeJoy.
So what is going on with our friend Louis DeJoy?
It's interesting. We must have shamed him a little bit in our hearing that he's stopping to any more of the tearing apart of processing centers and consolidation till the end of the year. So unfortunately, Wisconsin, we've already had the damage done. I mean, they literally took away the processing equipment like in Madison, and they have everything done now in Milwaukee. But I think it's all about the Postal Board of Governors and, you know, quite honestly, having the appointments that we need. Recently, the former Labor Secretary, Marty Walsh, got put on, which is a very good thing. But we need one more good appointment to make sure it gets done.
Well, and I find it interesting that there seems to be some mixed messaging coming from the folks on the other side of the aisle as to whether or not mail-in voting and early voting is a good thing or a terrible rip in the fabric of our Constitution.
Yeah, well, and in Wisconsin especially, right? The Wisconsin Republican Party has said, vote early, vote by mail, because they're desperate to catch up where I think the rest of the country is, which is we do things like that now, right? This is a modern way of voting, and it's how like Oregon does it really well. That's all they have is mail-in voting. And I talked to my colleagues there. But in Wisconsin, I do think that you're going to see less of that rhetoric. Not that there's not other rhetoric we're going to hear going into November, but less of that rhetoric because the Republican Party is also messaging about voting by.
Representative Mark Pocan is our guest, and I wanted to talk about this in particular. This is quite exciting, actually. You, along with former Republican U.S. Representative Reed Ribble, are launching Wisconsin's chapter of Democracy First. So if you would, Mark Pocan, tell us what that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. It's a bipartisan, nonpartisan, whatever you want to call it, effort to just have elected officials take a pledge to honor the election results. I never thought we would be doing that. To me, that's like not even a 101 of democracy. It's like a 99 level course, right? It's a prep course. But the fact that we're needing to do it, well, that's what we're trying to do. So in a number of states across the country, this effort's on. Reed Ribble is a former colleague, a conservative, a Republican, who is a great stand-up person who stood up for his values. And we could disagree, but we could do it without being disagreeable. And he's, you know, trying to lead it kind of from the Republican side. And I'm trying to lead it from the Democratic side. And I'm hoping that lots of people will take the pledge to honor our election results so we don't have, and I guess this is way loose of a term, shenanigans post-election day.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to go back to 2020 and the debacle that occurred after the 2020 election. And it is still being litigated by some as to whether or not this was a free and fair election, even after, again, having been through numerous court systems and numerous examinations. There was no evidence of any widespread fraud. There simply wasn't. But as you said, there are a number of people who still seem to believe that. As I'm looking at this press release about this organization, other Republican members include former U.S. Representative Tom Petri, former State Representative Mark Honigdell, former State Senator Kathy Bernier, former State Senator Luther Olson and former State Senator David Zinn. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tragically, no current Republican office holders have signed on to this effort.
But to be fair, and I do want to be fair on this because I think it's important, the effort just started. So I think they had approached some former folks and others who they could get a hold of a little easier. And now the effort really begins. So I'm not going to fault anyone, but maybe in a month from now, if someone hasn't decided that the election should be, you know, the real election and we're not going to play games, then I think it's very fair to go after folks who don't sign. But right now, I'm just glad that that many people, and that's a, it's a representing a pretty wide diversity of the Republican Party, too. I mean, some of those folks are very conservative. Some of those folks are a little more moderate. But, you know, they've all been through elections and they know our elections are run well. And that's the one, if there's one thing we can all agree on, it should be that. And hopefully that solves any problems when, you know, my pillow guy or my blanket guy or, you know, my mattress woman or whatever, you know, comes to town to tell us something differently.
Does that mean that I can be hopeful that there still remain some reasonable Republicans within the Wisconsin State Legislature who know that some of this rhetoric is simply not true?
We'll find out. I think so. I know from private conversations, absolutely. I mean, this is the reality is the MAGA base, you know, Donald Trump has manipulated them so well that they're often afraid to say things that are just common sense that we should all agree to like this. And, you know, it's hard for them sometimes to stand out because they get attacked. You know, Robin Voss, for all his maybe policy and ideological faults, just almost had a recall because he still wasn't pure enough by the pillow guy and Mike Gabelman standards. I mean, if I didn't even know those were standards when you get to people like Mike Gabelman, but, you know, clearly that's the reality they have to deal with. So I'm hoping that, you know, by having a number of prominent folks and hopefully in both parties, that this can be something that maybe can transcend the national noise. But if it doesn't, then we're going to have to push harder.
Well, for heaven's sakes, even the Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty looked at the election and said that there was no election fraud. So come on, people. I think that this would be something that we could all agree upon.
You would hope so, but we're going to try to make that an effort.
What else is going on in Washington for the couple of minutes we have left with you, sir?
Yeah, you know, I'm continuing to never work harder to do so little. So that's kind of the Republican mantra with, you know, we're passing a bunch of appropriation bills that have zero, in fact, less than zero. Zero is actually a number. Whatever would be a non-number, less than zero chance of actually ever passing. But it's what the Republicans have to do to get some of their Marjorie Taylor Greene likes to support these bills. The only good thing, I guess, that comes out of this is, you know, it moves us closer to a conference committee where the Senate still works in a more bipartisan way. I don't think we'll have a budget done when it's supposed to by September 30th. But at some point, playing fantasy Congress every single day that I'm here gets a little bit, you know, old. I guess that's the best way of putting it.
Real Politicians of Congress or something. There's a reality show in there somewhere.
Oh, my God. You're giving me too many ideas right now. I'm not sure I needed to hear that.
Who's writing these things down, sir? You can use them later on. You can use them later on. Representative Mark Pocan represents Wisconsin's 2nd District. Thank you so very much. And happy National Postal Workers Day. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Same to you and not to lose to joy.
Representative Mark Pocan, in a pre-recorded interview, we had a chance to talk to him on Friday.
Is he the funniest? Is he the funniest congressman in the country?
He's got to be right up there.
He's so funny. He is good.
Real Politicians of Madison. I just think there's a lot of potential there. just Real Politicians in general. Because again, he's in the House in Washington, and as we all know, they are the least productive Congress, least productive House, I think, in ever.
Yeah, I remember like years ago in like 2010, 12, and 14, they were like, I can't believe this is a do-nothing Congress. They've only got such percentage. I'm like, 2024 Congress, hold my beer because I don't want to hold it. I don't want to do anything. I want to do nothing.
Seriously. And they're really, really good at that.
And proud of it, too.
And proud of it. Yes, very proud of it. As Mark Pocan was talking about this joint effort now to get people to learn about our elections and how our elections are run and the process that it goes through to count ballots and all of those things. If you are interested, and we've had them on many, many times, it's called Keep Our Republic.
Yes.
And he mentioned former Senator Kathy Bernier, mm-hmm. who is part of Keep Our Republic.
Yes.
And they do hold seminars all around the state and several different states for people who still have questions about the election. and they take you through the process. And it is much more complicated, and there's a much stronger chain of command in keeping track of ballots than I think people realize.
When you go through one of their programs, you understand why our elections are safe, because there are so many mechanisms built in to protect the ballots, to protect the voters. And this is a truly bipartisan group. This isn't lefty liberals or righty tighties.
Right.
It's people coming together to tell you the process, because it's your process. You need to know what's going on. And we need to remember that our elections are safe. And the moment they aren't, we do something. But right now, they are very safe. And many politicians have agreed upon that.
Well, except for Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who knows inherently that there's a lot of illegal people who are voting. He just knows that.
It's in my gut.
It's in my bones.
Two things I know.
I feel it in my bones.
Illegals are voting. Van Halen was better with David Lee Roth. Those are two things inherently I know.
That you can stand by.
Yeah.
Good to know. When we return, Governor Evers is on the road, and he is talking about, wouldn't it be nice to have clean water? We kind of agree with that. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, if you ever want to get a hold of us, get a hold of the show, you have an idea for a guest or a topic, you can always email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane says at civicmedia.us. Got a couple great emails already from folks with suggestions for interviews that we followed up on. And so if you have an idea, something going on in your community, super easy, send it in. JaneSays@civicmedia.us.
We listen to you.
We try.
Yeah, it's great.
Definitely.
We love hearing from you. Seriously.
Dean Muller from Wisconsin for Environmental Justice will be joining us after the 11 o'clock news to talk about the cost of cleaning up our environment if we don't do things proactively. So he'll be joining us after 11 o'clock. Wanted to let you know, though, if you are out and about in Wisconsin today, Governor Evers is on the road. He is in Adams at noon today. He already had a stop this morning in West Bend around 9:45 at noon. The governor will be in Adams at 210 North College Street and then stopping in Eau Claire 2 o'clock this afternoon at the City of Eau Claire Water Treatment Plant at 2711 Riverview Drive. And it's my understanding that the governor is talking about how the Republican-controlled Congress in Wisconsin is still sitting on all this money, $125 million, to address PFAS contamination. And it has been approved, and they're just sitting on it.
Can you give a very brief explanation of PFAS for those who don't know?
PFAS are in chemicals that can are chemicals that end up in our water and subsequently end up in our bodies and are very health damaging.
Yeah.
These are not good for us.
No.
These PFAS aren't good for us. They're not good for animals. They're not good for the environment. PFAS are poison.
Yes.
Essentially. And again, rather than releasing this money that was approved months ago.
Yes.
Our do-nothing elected representatives who are on, what, month five of vacation?
Yeah.
Is it month five?
Oh, yeah, we're moving into month five.
It's July.
Oh,
it's July.
Oh boy.
Evers and Republican lawmakers did agree to provide funding under the current two-year budget to address pollution from PFAS, but they're at odds over how to spend the money. The governor did veto a GOP bill that would have used the money to give grants to communities, landowners, and others, but it didn't give regulators any authority.
No.
So it's that was kind of toothless.
And not to mention, this kind of plays into what's going to be happening on the primary ballot this year. There's going to be amendments on there that are going to give joint finance as well as just the assembly and the state Senate even more control over the finances.
Yeah, which is not a good thing if we actually want to see things get done.
I would hope that no one would shake their fist in the air and say, not more money for all these blah, blah, blah. This is money has been put aside. It has been approved. It needs to be spent because I don't know about you. I like clean drinking water. And luckily, I live in an area that this is not a concern for me. But that's not the same for everybody around here.
Look at the people on French Island.
Exactly.
Who have been drinking bottled water for a couple of years already.
Yeah. I think it was Columbus, Wisconsin. They're having terrible. It's either Columbus or Cleveland, Wisconsin. One of the two. Forgive me for not knowing the difference or not knowing which one. But they're having problems with their water as well. This is a big deal. I mean, this is how bad it is. In Minnesota, they've banned PFAS because of their poisonous nature to our water and to our body. We haven't, and we're not spending the money to fix it either. So Governor Evers, who is a very busy man, now has to go around and talk to people to help them understand that this is very important, that the money is sitting there, $125 million, sitting in an account, waiting to be spent.
Yes.
But assembly members and those state senators, they need to work on their tans, and they need to see the great state of Wisconsin, or they're going to just maybe travel overseas for a conference.
That's, oh, those overseas conferences are popular.
You might want to get to know about them, because guess what, folks? You paid for them.
And I'm glad you mentioned the amendments that are going to be on the ballot in August, and this is why we really, really encourage you, and I know... Oh, we have to vote again. It's another primary. Yes, it is. And this one is really, really important. And I just think that these two things got stuck onto the August ballot because turnout tends to be very, very low. And excitement and energy is kind of lacking. And that's why they hope these two measures will pass, which, as you said, Greg, essentially give the power of the purse. They take it away from the governor and they give it to the Joint Finance Committee and the legislature.
Yeah.
And again, they can think about the COVID money when everything was shut down and businesses were closing.
Yeah.
And Governor Evers received money from the federal government and he directed where that money went. And it went to small businesses and it went to a number of other things. The governor was the one who determined where that money got spent. And from everything that I've seen, that worked out pretty well. At least as far as Wisconsin's response to COVID.
Yeah.
Now, if these two amendments pass, they could still be sitting on that money.
Yeah.
And haggling over what to do with it and where it should go.
And what they'll end up doing, because they love doing this. They've done this twice in the past decade. They will send it back to you as a refund. Well, guess what? You might be thinking to yourself, oh my God, I'll get a refund. It's probably getting about $5, $10. It doesn't end up being enough of money to really help you.
It's not going to be $5,000.
Yeah. So don't get your hopes up on that. That's a terrible waste of money when they're sitting on a surplus or extra money. And if we're just airing the grievances of the state, we are also one of the 10 states that still has not expanded Medicaid for the money that the government gives us every single year to help us. And one of those expansion things we want to do is helping mothers who've just had a baby expand their Medicaid access from 60 days to a year.
Yeah.
So I know it's a lot to take in. You got to vote. You have to vote in August.
In August, absolutely. And if you're not registered, check your registration, myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. We're going to have Deborah Kronmiller on tomorrow from the League of Women Voters to talk specifically about these two amendments that are going to be on the August ballot, and I hope you can join us for that. Stay close. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.